terms of persecution, most persecution comes from this idea, this obsession with a healthy nation. The view of the entire German nation as a body that needs to be kept healthy, and therefore you need to get rid of any bacteria and disease or any unhealthy cells. And so the Nazis therefore tried to get rid of the Jews in Germany. They did that initially by trying to get the Jews to leave voluntarily, by making their lives so difficult that they'd want to go. Why the Jews? Why pick out the Jews? Well, the Jews were a people who lived in many countries around the world, in Spain and Germany and Poland and Britain. They lived all around the world, yet they did not have a nation of their own. So you might find Germans living, for example, in Russia near the Volga, or you might find Germans living southern in Tyrol in Italy. You might find even a few Germans who had up sticks and moved to London. Germans living all around the world, yet there was a country called Germany that you could go and where there these people seemed to belong. The Jews, though, didn't have their own home. Israel only became a nation again in 1948, long after the Second World War. You know, 3 years passed before the Jews had their own state. And it was a long time before that state was secure. So the Jews were these people who seemed to be parasites. They lived identifiably as Jews all around the world, yet they didn't have a nation of their own. To Hitler, they were just a parasites living off other nations. The Jews, because they had a strong education system, tended to do very well in society. Jewish boys are required to learn the Torah, the holy books, to be able to, you know, the very strong tradition of education. So they tended to do well in the different societies that they lived in. They also had undergone a lot of persecution throughout their history. Banned from being doctors in many nations, banned from being lawyers in many nations. But what that meant is they tended to go into business and tended to do very well there. And therefore, they tended to be rich and well off. So here you had this group of people who seemed to have too many rich people. You know, there were all these Jews living without a nation of their own in Germany, and they're doing so well financially. So Hitler viewed them as parasites that needed to be destroyed, and so he began a program of trying to get rid of them. Now, be very careful. Hitler did not come to power with this plan in his mind. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to murder 6 million Jews. He quite often said, you know, I'm going to verdicten, the Jews need to be eliminated. But he said that about all his enemies. You know, that's no different than Liverpool saying, you know, well, we're going to eliminate our enemy on Saturday. Do you mean that literally? Are you literally going to shoot the team you're playing? Or do you mean that as a figure of speech? Hitler never really said anything before the Second World War that implied that he was literally going to murder the Jews of Germany or any other nation. Hitler's ideas about the Jews became more and more violent as time went on. And by 1941, there's definitely a plan underway, certainly with Hitler's approval, possibly Hitler's idea, but Hitler's definitely the driving force behind it. And at that stage, by 1941, he is going to murder all the Jews, every man, woman, and child in Europe. But to begin with, that wasn't his plan. To begin with, he just wanted them out of Germany. And there were very few Jews living in Germany, comparatively speaking. So in 1933, Hitler organised boycotts of Jewish businesses. Now, it only lasted one day, and the idea was you just weren't allowed to shop in a Jewish shop. But people got the idea. The Nazis are watching. If you go into a Jewish shop, if you do trade with Jews, it might be bad for your health. So Jewish businesses tended to be avoided. He got rid of Jewish civil servants and lawyers, Jewish teachers. Race science lessons in school began to teach that the Jews were Untermensch, in other words, an inferior type of man, a subhuman. And this is being taught in school. So if you're a Jewish businessman and you have a bit of money, there's less people coming into your shop, but you're finding out that your relatives aren't allowed to be lawyers or doctors anymore, and they're not allowed to be in the civil service, life's becoming more and more uncomfortable for you. On top of which, if there's a Nazi thug in the street and he wants to beat you up, he can and no one will arrest him. Put all that together, you've got a strong incentive to leave. And the Nazis did everything they could to help people leave. you know, they actually had a wee ministry set up, and that ministry's job was to help people leave. And a guy called Heydrich, who would later organise the elimination of the Jews, the murder of the Jews, he ran that, and he helped the Jews get out of Germany. We'll help you on your way. We'll pack your bag for you. Off you go. Go somewhere else. Don't bother us anymore. 1935, things get worse again. Jews not wanted here. Signs were put up in swimming pools, cinemas. You begin to get racial segregation. You're not allowed in here. Nuremberg laws were passed in September 1935. And they said Jews weren't proper citizens. They weren't allowed to vote. They weren't allowed to marry a German. And those were held before the Nuremberg. Those laws were passed just before the Nuremberg rallies in 1935. At the last minute. And the idea was that before the rallies, Hitler wanted to give, you know, he wanted to give people a really powerful message that, yeah, I mean, we're radical and we're doing things that are tough and different, and couldn't come up with very much. Easy thing to do, persecute the Jews a little more. So they came up with the Nuremberg laws, and the Nuremberg laws, you know, here we are, we're Nazis, we're getting rid of the parasites, we're getting rid of this filth that live in our nation. Nuremberg laws are passed in 35, but again, it does make life progressively more difficult for the Jewish people. Now, again, 1936 comes straight after that, and persecution of the Jews goes down in 1936. Not as much of it, because the Olympics are taking place in Germany, and Hitler wants to present Germany as a civilized, respectable nation. And so, in 1936, he brings all this under control, and the persecution is less in 1936. But after the Olympics are over, 1938, it started to go up again. Jews weren't allowed to be doctors, 1938. Jews had to add the name Israel, if you were a man, or Sarah, to your own name. Jewish children weren't allowed to go to schools, so you had to go to your own type of Jewish school. And then on the 9th of September, of November, we have Kristallnacht, and in Paris, a Jewish young man called Grinspan shot a German politician, killed him. Hitler used the opportunity to keep his more radical Nazi supporters happy, the hardliners, the guys who really hated Jews. Remember, Hitler's always trying to keep them happy, and so what he did is he let Kristallnacht happen, and he let Goebbels organise Kristallnacht. And basically what that did was an outpouring of hatred, where the Jewish businesses, Jewish synagogues, many of these places were burned to the ground, were attacked, bricks were put through windows, Jews were arrested, Jews were beaten up, Jews were killed. I mean, it was an extraordinarily violent night. Again, there were many more violent things happening in Europe, and you begin to wonder, you know, why did nobody step in to protect the Jewish people? Well, at that time, Britain had colonies all around the world which were treating minorities in a pretty bad way. In a very bad way in some places. The French were worse in places like Vietnam that they owned around the world. And so in the context of the time, it was bad and people condemned it, and the British politicians condemned it and said this is terrible and this man's a barbarian. But it was just too easy to turn a blind eye to. It was too easy to forget about. And so people ignored it. You've Kristallnacht in 1938. 1939, Jews are forbidden to own businesses or own radios, and they're forced to live in ghettos, areas of cities that are set aside for the Jews. And again, we're trying to get the Jews to leave, to emigrate, to leave Germany, to force them out. But then, of course, the Second World War breaks out. And as the war goes on, what happens is the Germans begin to conquer more and more territory. They conquer Poland. And in Poland, there are millions of Jews. So what do you do with these millions of Jews? The Nazis had never ruled millions of Jews before. Well, you have to create ghettos for them. Well, disease spreads in the ghettos. And you have to feed these guys living in the ghettos. So what do we do with them? You know, Hitler comes to power saying, I'm going to get the Jews out of Germany. He invades Poland, annexes a lot of Polish territory, makes that German. Germany's become bigger. And all of a sudden, this guy who said, I'm going to get the Jews out of Poland, has conquered territory with millions, or get the Jews out of Germany, has conquered territory with millions of Jews in it. He's just made the situation worse. You know, you wanted to get rid of the Jews? Oh, nice one, Hitler. You've just added 2-3 million more to our population. What are you going to do with them? And so Hitler has to try to deal with this Jewish problem. What do we do with the Jewish problem? Then you conquer France. Well, there's a few thousand more Jews living within German control. And then you get 1941, you have the invasion of Russia, even more Jews falling under your control. What do you do with these Jews? What do you do with these Jewish people? They toyed with ideas like sending them to Madagascar, an island to the south of Africa, let them starve there, send them to Siberia if we conquer Russia. But those were impractical plans. You can't send millions of people by boat or train around the world. And it soon become apparent that the only way to really get rid of them is to kill them. And so the death camps are set up, and they're poisoned and gassed. Before this, 1941 was the first time that the Jews are made to wear yellow stars on their sleeves in Germany. Now, be very careful of that. A lot of people seem to think that this happened earlier. This is only 1941, and the death camps only start in 1941. But things gradually become worse. Nobody wakes up one morning and says, you know what I want to do? I want to become a mass murderer. I want to become the sort of guy who kills 6 million innocent people. That's what I want to be remembered for. Nobody does that. Not even Hitler. Hitler starts with a hatred of them, a contempt for them. And little by little by little, the hatred grows, the speeches grow worse. And he makes these promises in front of an entire nation that he's going to do something with them all. And then to keep those promises, he has to kill 6 million people. And after years of teaching people that these guys are Untermensch, that these guys are subhuman, that becomes easy. And it's a slow, gradual decline that you have to watch out for. I mean, one of the lessons you learn from history is that it's very easy to spot a madman if he just stands up and says, hey, I've got a really crazy idea, let's go kill like 6 million people. Easy to reject that guy as a lunatic. That's not how you get guys like Hitler in charge. It's guys whose ideas become slowly worse over time. So the Jews were obviously one group who were persecuted, but there were others. Jehovah's Witnesses we've mentioned, but also Gypsies. The Roma and the Sinti people were persecuted horribly by the Nazis, especially those who lived in Germany. They're the only group who really come close to the treatment that was dished out on the Jewish people. With sterilization of people with diseases, forced sterilization of people with diseases that the Nazis didn't want passed on. Now, what they classed as a disease included things like learning disabilities. You'd be forcibly sterilized, and more women were sterilized than men. Deaf people, for example, not allowed to have children. Physically disabled people, sterilized. But if you were mentally disabled, in the early 1940, you were killed. They ran a euthanasia program, and the mentally ill were murdered. And they were murdered with poison gas before the Jews ever were. It's sometimes mentioned that a German Catholic a bishop called von Galen led a successful campaign. People say, oh, he got the euthanasia campaign stopped. He didn't. The Nazis ran out of people to kill. They were running out of people to kill by that stage. And that was a prelude to the gassing of the Jews in the death camps in Poland. It had been tried out first on the inmates of asylums. This was a regime that became more and more and more murderous as time came on. The warning signs were there from the very start. Hitler was a gangster, but people convinced themselves he was for law and order. And in the end, it turned out that they were supporting one of the worst mass murderers in history.